The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Our tech team ensure your broadband runs at its optimum speed. It's all part of the service.
9:33, and I want you to say hello to Anne-Marie Collins. Good morning, Anne-Marie.
Hello, hello, good morning.
It's nice to talk to you. I saw you tweeting earlier on that you're nervous. You have nothing to be nervous about. We see you. Yeah. We were watching every move you made this morning, every breath you took.
Do you know what? I think it's because I listen to you most days, and I just thought, oh my God, it's going to be so weird to have the radio, you know, talk back to me this time. And actually, so yeah, no, I'll be fine. I'll be fine.
You are going to be fine. Sure, look, if you listen to us every day, it means we're friends.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Let's talk. Let's talk that way. How about that? Okay. Why don't we talk about who you are? And I think you know, so many people talk about teaching. We talk a lot about teachers on this program. We've got great respect for teachers and what they do. And I think your relationship to education is really, really intriguing. So will we go back to the beginning?
Yep.
Okay. Let's do it. Tell us about where you came from and your attitude to and relationship with teaching or education, I should say.
Yeah, so first of all, I'm from Navan, the lovely Meath, and I'm from the travelling community, and I suppose just going back to my education, like you said, teachers are so important, aren't they? And I was very lucky, I suppose, throughout my education to encountered amazing teachers. So I went to a Gael school in Navan. And I suppose I had a really great experience in primary school. I feel like I had the experience that every child deserves. The teachers were amazing. They were so inclusive and encouraging. And I just never felt different, like, you know, because of my background or anything, you know. So
good. To use the expression, you were never othered.
No, I wasn't.
Good.
Like, I didn't feel any different, and I think that's lovely. And it was just, you know, primary school, they really just allowed us to, you know, develop our curiosity and explore and learn so much, and that was the most important thing, wasn't it? And I was in a Gael school, so their focus was, you couldn't be talking Béarla on out playing, so that was the main thing. You couldn't be, it wasn't about your background, it was about the learning and the school environment, and that's the most important thing, isn't it?
And what happened at junior cert then? What was sort of...
Yeah, so I started secondary school, and before I started secondary school, I kind of had, I suppose, everyone I knew from my background, my cousins, people related, even my brothers, they had left school. They didn't complete their junior cert, so that was my plan when I started secondary school. I was thinking, you know what, I'll just go in, I'll get my junior cert, and I leave. But when I started secondary school in Navan, I actually loved it. I loved the subjects, I loved the school environment, and I thought, oh my God, I want to stay. I want to go on and do my leaving cert. And no one in my family had done their leaving cert. So when I got to kind of junior cert, I think of a time that the kind of expectations my parents had of me came really to light. Like, I was very aware of them because there was a pressure at the time to kind of get married and to kind of pack in the school bag and to leave school.
At what age?
At 15.
At 15. And to get married at what age?
18. So it was to kind of, you know, during that time, I suppose people I knew, travellers I knew, were leaving school, you know, at junior cert and going off and then just focusing on getting married. So being
And can I ask you a straight question, Anne-Marie? And you know, don't feel free to tell me, no, that's off or that's not right, but I'll ask you anyway. What is the traveller community's relationship with education, and why do they leave, so many of the traveller community leave education at such an early stage? Whatever about young girls, as you say, who are kind of expected to get married young, but the fellas and all that kind of thing. Where does that come from? Maybe you can help me.
Well, you see, I mean, I can't speak for the whole community. Yeah. I can only give you my experience, I suppose. And I suppose my parents, I feel like they kind of knew no better. I mean, they had spent their childhood travelling around. They were changing schools. Education just wasn't a huge thing for them. My mother had missed a lot of primary school. Now, don't get me wrong, they loved learning. Like, my mother is very passionate about learning. And that's the reason, you know, I went to a Gael school. She loved the Irish language and she never had kind of, you know, gotten that chance to learn it.
Yeah.
I think they just knew no better. I don't think they really fully understood just how important education is. And so I think they kind of just had that in their mind and kind of thought I'd be the same way maybe.
Yes.
But I really think value of it. I loved reading. I loved being with my friends. And education isn't just a form of learning, is it? It's not just about sitting exams. It's about that social side of things. It's about making friends, being part of teams in sports. It's about. It's just a lovely education. School can be. So lovely.
Well, you're so right. Some people see education and the school experience. Some people hated it. Some people loved it. But if you loved it, it's like a swimming pool. You just swim through it, and you just love it. You love being there. You take it all in, and you're in heaven. And you're obviously one of those people. Did you have problems reconciling your community's traditions with your own academic ambitions?
Definitely, it was. I think during that secondary school period, that was the time where it was that identity crisis of going, oh my God, this is kind of what my community do. This is their norm, but I want something different, right?
Yes.
And that was definitely a tough period of trying to convince, I suppose, my family and others that. You know, education was okay, progressing onwards to college was okay, going to Dublin was okay, you know, because it just seemed so foreign to them. They were like, no, but you can't do that. But, so during that time, it was certainly, I feel like my secondary school experience was more focused on that than what I kind of should have been focused on, which is my leaving cert, you know, and studying, and which is kind of a very delicate time, I think, your leaving cert. So, yeah, that was, there was a struggle there. But just what you said there, I just want to make a point, because I just feel like, you know, especially currently right now, I feel like teachers are kind of getting a little bit of a tough time. And for me, like my school experience during that time with that, I suppose, that identity crisis, whatever you want to call it, it was my teachers who linked me in with the support I needed, you know, and were able to kind of recognise that, look, maybe education, like her leaving cert, it's important, but we need to link her in and signpost her to the right support, to talking to someone. And I think that's so important that we say that, because teachers are usually the first, like they can be the first person you go to, they're your friend, and they play such an important role, don't they, in supporting us, not just academically, but in other ways.
So what year did you do your leaving cert in then?
So I sent my leaving cert in 2007. Now look, I just wasn't in, I had an awful leaving cert, Ryan, I did awful. And
it's okay.
But I sat it, I wanted to sit it. I had it in my mind that I was never going to go to college, because I was lucky. At that time, I just thought, look, I'm lucky to do my leaving cert, so I may as well just get college out of my head. So I was working, and I'd found a great job, and I was kind of excelling in that.
Yet the love, or not the, sorry, the dream of the college experience wouldn't leave you. I mean, this sounds like something that was, you know, vocational. It was something that was meant to happen. You were determined.
Yeah, definitely. Because I do love learning.
Yeah, I can gather that.
I have a passion for it, and that's why I'm going into teaching, because I believe in it so much, you know, and that's what you want at the front of the classroom, someone who believes in the work they do.
Well, tell me about that. Where did you go to college ultimately, and why?
Yeah, so I went back to college. When I was working, I just thought, okay, and initially I'd wanted to go into healthcare, the course I wanted to do was in Trinity, so I just thought, there's no way I'd get into Trinity, you know, especially with the leaving cert I had. And I just, you kind of do think the Trinity's for very wealthy people and a certain background. So it was a traveller lady I met actually from the town, and she was lovely. She told me, like, maybe they have an access program. So it was actually my mother then that rang them.
Great.
Isn't that amazing? Like, 2 years later, she was like, no, you need to go to college, you're well able. And I at that point, they'd realise just how important the education is. It was, well, not realise, but I think they came to understand that it wasn't that bad. Wasn't that bad.
And if there was a door to be knocked at, there it was, the Trinity Access Programme. On you went.
So, I did that for a year, and then I went on to do my undergraduate in occupational therapy, and that was a great degree, because I feel like it really gave me that language and for around inclusive education and why it's so important that we support every child, you know, during their throughout their educational journey. So, but I suppose during my undergrad, I did a lot of volunteering with Trinity, and all that volunteering was around deaf schools, like schools in Dublin, and going out to visit children in schools, and really just trying to encourage them to stay on, and not just traveller children, like children from all sorts of backgrounds.
Yeah.
And just trying to encourage them to go on with their education. And it was really true that I just, people were saying to me, like, you should be a teacher. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? You need to be a teacher.
Even talking to me, you sound like somebody who'd be a great teacher. I can sense it. No, but I'm learning from you. I'm gonna bounce along because yeah. I don't want to lose sight of the fact that you spoke at Oxford University to talk about access programs.
Yeah,
you got a fellowship in upstate New York with a non-profit organization that helps with the disadvantaged schools. I'm only saying this because I don't want people to not know that, and at the same time, I don't expect you to produce the trumpet and start playing it. So I'm just doing that to save blushes, but enhance your CV as if you need it. But what I do want to do is get to the point about you as a teacher, and the fact that you, as a member of the travelling community, stand in front of a class of 30 children or whatever it might be, and now in front of a laptop or whatever it might be. How important is it for a minority group, if that's the right expression, to have somebody like you in the position that you have, and for kids who aren't part of a minority group necessarily? Is that question clear?
I think it's a great question. It's very important. Do you know what, actually, just before the break, you said something, someone I think texted in about saying, oh, I love when the children find out their real name, the teacher's real name, okay?
Yes.
And I remember being out in a school in Finglas last year, and I was working with a group of young traveller boys, and I was saying to them, you know, I'm training to be a teacher, and they kept calling me Anne-Marie, and I was like, or they kept calling me Miss, and I was like, no, you can call me Anne-Marie. They're like, no, you're related to us and you're a teacher. Like, we want to call you Miss. And I think that was a very powerful thing for them. They were going, this is amazing. Like, we've never met anyone from our community that is a teacher. Mm-hmm. And also for them, they were like, it's just so cool that, you know, you're there and you're teaching us. You're a professional, you know. And I think that is just so important. And I think it's lovely for them to be able to kind of see what they can achieve if they want to. And that they can talk about their identity, their background, their upbringing freely in a class. Now, not saying the teachers don't allow that, but it's just lovely that they feel that they want to share it even more, you know, and go, oh, I relate to you.
Yes.
I get you. We're from a similar background. And look at you. You're up there. You're doing a master's, you know, to become a teacher. And I just think that is so important, isn't it, for children to be able to relate to that person at the front of the classroom.
No question about it. And that could go for all sorts of minority members of our society, who the more you see of people, the less, to use the word again, the less other they become. And it makes it easier. Let me ask you, are you becoming the more the norm for the traveller community's relationship with education, or are you still very much the exception?
I think it's kind of a norm. Like, I see my family, and my brother's gone on to work, and he's a gym instructor, and I see my mother who's gone on. She's hooked on learning. Like, we can't get her to stop talking. She's loving. she's gone on to be a care assistant. And you know, my nephews, like, they have ambitions. They want to be, okay, they don't want to go to Trinity, and they want to go into trades, and that's so important too. You know, they want to be a carpenter. They want to go into whatever it might be. They have those ambitions, don't they?
Yes.
And that's really, really important. So
what's your plan? Talk about ambitions. What is your plan now? Because I feel, do you mind me making a comment on where you're at in the world, or is that a bit much?
No, go on ahead.
Here's what I feel talking to you today. I've really enjoyed our chat so far. But I feel that you're wasted as just a teacher in a classroom. I think you're an advocate. I think you'd be a great voice for a lot of different groups and people. And I hope that you can combine both your love of teaching and being an asset to a classroom and a school, but also maybe to the society at large by the way you speak and the passion with which you speak.
Oh, thank you so much.
No, I mean
actually, can I just say, I just want to say, actually, to everyone in Marino Institute of Education, because honestly, Ryan, if you'd have said to me 2 years ago to come onto the show, I would have said no. But it's just being in their lectures and being in Marino with the staff, and they're just so, they're like, for a teaching college, they really ooze inclusivity, you know, and they believe in it. And I think that's what pushed me to actually go, yeah, actually I want to do something and speak up and say this. And it's just, it's such a confidence boost, isn't it, when you're around people that think like you. Okay, they're not from your background, but they believe in you and they believe in the work they do. And so, yeah, I say thank you so much for saying that. Like, but it's really, it's their support as well that really kind of gave me that confidence to be where I am, really.
Good. You know? And that's where you're doing your master's in primary education. Just a couple of texts come in. Anne-Marie has created a traveller community resource guide to help educators, and it includes links to traveller artists and their work and storybooks that teachers can share in their classroom. Congratulations on that. Stuart was on to say, with Anne-Marie's passion and enthusiasm, she'd be a great teacher, and any student would be lucky to have her, which I'd concur with. Becky was on to say, listening to you talking to Anne-Marie, and I just want you to, or want to say how amazing she is. I've worked with her in TAP, that's the Access Programme in Trinity, on wonderful teaching resources. And she's endlessly creative and insightful and empathetic and just downright fantastic crack. And her future students are lucky and they don't even know it yet. Keep going, if you don't mind, Anne-Marie.
Thank you.
And, you know, keep us posted, won't you? I'd love to talk to you again and see how you're getting on.
Definitely, definitely, and I'd love to talk to you. It's a pity we're over the phone, but look, it is what it is. But yeah, thank you so much for allowing me to go on, and I just a big huge thank you to everyone out there, listening, and to all the teachers. Just keep doing what you're doing. I think
that sounds good to me. And as you say, the next time when this thing has calmed the hell down, we'll talk face to face in the studio. I look forward to meeting you then. All right, Anne-Marie,
thank you. Thank you so much, Ryan.
Thank you so much. You're great, Anne-Marie Collins, joining us with her story this morning, and put you in good form, would it not?